Probably the stupidest book title I've seen in a while is Jack Curry's Woodstock, The Summer of Our Lives. Now, I wasn't at Woodstock, and I realize that summer's not a physical ordeal for many people in the way it is for us down here in Texas. But just considering the metaphorical implications of that title makes me ill. Summer suggests warmth, youth, and ripeness. What comes after is aging, cooling, and death. And what really scares me is that there are actually people out there who will buy that metaphor. I'll tell you what I remember about Woodstock. In the summer of 1969, I was teaching a course in the history of popular music at a small Midwestern college. A bunch of my students announced one week that they were going to miss a couple of classes because they were going to Woodstock. I told them that was fine, but you couldn't drag me to a thing like that. First, I told them, mistaking upstate New York for the Lower East Side, the cops would be all over them, breaking their heads. And even if that didn't happen, the sound would be awful, and you wouldn't be able to make much sense out of the music that was being played. When they staggered back on Wednesday, they told me that I was too paranoid about the cops, which I was, but otherwise it was much worse than I had envisioned. The weather had seen to that. Woodstock, a friend of mine reminded me a few weeks ago, was one of the first examples of the media reshaping an event to the point of making people remember things that never happened. Remember the beautiful harmonies of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young? No, you don't, because they were awful. The feeble attempt we just heard was overdubbed in the studio later. The group never did really understand the least thing about harmony singing, but they made sure they'd sound good in the film. As for the rest of the music, all too much of it was the sort of grandstanding, boring tripe purveyed by guitarist Alvin Lee of 10 Years After. Much of the talent was negligible. Melanie Safka? Quill? Mountain? Give me a break. Some of the better acts put on horrible performances, most notably the Grateful Dead, who were getting ready to fire their keyboard player, and Janis Joplin, who was so zonked on heroin she could barely stand up. Other performances that were highly thought of then bring a shiver today. How about Grace Slick braying in front of the Jefferson Airplane, or The Who performing that epic of stultifying boredom, Tommy? Okay, hold it, I hear you say. Woodstock wasn't about the music that was played there. Given all the confusion, the fact that it came off at all was enough of a miracle. Fine, I'll agree with you there. The workers who put that show on did a heroic job, and no, the actual musical quality didn't count, not really. No, Woodstock was really about something far more insidious than bad music. It was a celebration, not of peace, love, and music, as its slogan said, but of the destruction of a cultural movement by a handful of its participants and originators. It marked the delivery of the hippie culture that had been growing in American England for the past 4 years into the hands of commercial forces who could mass market it and sell it back to those who had made it happen. It marked the end of a culture where the barrier between creators and consumers barely existed, and the beginning of one where creation was equated with spectacle, and the consumers were passive and paid for the privilege of watching it. It marked the end of an ethic of sharing, be it of dope, food, or services, and the beginning of a more hard-edged, profit-oriented, every-man-for-himself way of looking at the world and its bounty. And although cynical nostalgists are trying to sell you on the fact that it was the height of the 60s, it was, in fact, the last nail in the coffin. Perhaps it's the fate of mass movements to end like this, and yet this one seems to have embraced its end without a whimper. Anybody who'd say that Woodstock marked the summer of their life hasn't been paying attention. The only person who seemed to intuit what was happening, however dimly, was the one who played the only piece of music that everybody still agrees was a masterpiece. I should let him have the last word.